We begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. We hear God's word of truth in 1 Peter 3, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. That passage has a forward-looking vision that anticipates countless encounters with this scenario. The unbelieving person watches you, the Christian, living your faith. Then this person notices your Christian conviction and comes with questions. Think big, such as, what happens when we die? How can you be sure that you'll be saved and have eternal life in heaven? The Lord directs you and me to get ready, stay ready, to answer that with a defense of what you believe, the true reason for your hope of salvation, which we claim by faith in Christ. Recognize that as believers in Christ, you're expected to be witnesses of Christ. This is not a complicated thing when you understand your role. A witness of the gospel is simply a person who knows the important information of the gospel in the Bible, is convinced that it's true, and is willing to talk about it. Now compare that to the role of a witness in other situations. A news reporter collaborates the story, the true story, with a reliable witness or two. The criminal justice system needs, oftentimes, eyewitnesses to establish the facts of a court case. With you and me as witnesses of the gospel, however, differences jump out, don't they? We are not, first of all, eyewitnesses in the sense of people who met Jesus in person and actually saw him risen from the dead. And unlike that courtroom witness who has to testify to some criminal act or even violence that he happened to observe one day, you get to talk about something good. You get to report the gospel of Christ, and you can do that with conviction because of its truth. The truth is everything when you talk about the Savior and the salvation you gain from him. You're not answering that curious person's question with your best opinion on the subject of religion or theories about what might happen. God has given you as his message the gospel firmly established on key characteristics of absolute truth. First of all, the gospel has irreversible permanence. That means that no one, including the devil, can reach back in time, rewrite history, or undo what Jesus did. The gospel's locked in, forever accomplished by his perfect obedience, his innocent suffering, his dying in your place, his rising victorious from the grave. Secondly, the gospel is, I'm going to use some bigger words here, objective in the universal way, which means that God's work has become God's gift, distributed evenly to everyone, to all the undeserving people, you and me included. When you have a chance to talk about the Savior, you get to make it personal. You can share what you know to be true about yourself spiritually in relation to Christ. It's one reason among many why your diligent worship in church or at chapel your religious instruction in a classroom or some other venue, your prayers and personal Bible study are very important. You become a better witness of Christ, a better defender of the faith, when you hear and learn what the gospel means for you personally. Isn't it a message of compelling, comforting truth that captivates us to the point that we want more of it? We need to learn it, relearn it, know it backwards and forwards, inside and out, even if that were possible. But at the same time, it's also true that no matter how immersed you are in the good news of your salvation, it continues to amaze and impress. It continues to grab our attention. Just think what it would mean for us if there was no gospel. We entered this world desperately stuck in our sins. We break God's commandments so many times that we can't generate a number of how many we've committed. The guilt is daunting. The penalty attached is overwhelming. If we take Jesus out of this picture, where does that leave us? Aren't we on the same crash course for hell like everyone else, with no human way to avoid the disaster of a death sentence that we still deserve? So naturally, it is with great relief that this amazing, incredible news comes our way, the fact that the innocent Son of God has carried all of our sins to the cross, where he suffered our punishment of hell, so that in return, we get from God forgiveness, salvation, and hope, as the text puts it, the hope of eternal life. In the Bible, including 1 Peter 3:15, hope is more than the wish for something good to happen. Hope means expectation based on what God does, what the Lord says. You hope, that is, you expect to be saved because of what Christ did in your place. You expect to have eternal life because God gives it freely, undeservedly. You expect to be glorified in heaven because God promised it to you. That expectation is meant for other people. That expectation needs a voice. Your voice. My voice. And so we pray. Dear Father in heaven, Lord God, help us to know the hope of our salvation, to trust its truth always, to sing it, to share it, to live it each day with joy and endless thanksgiving to you. Amen. Let us close our worship this morning singing hymn 360, stanzas 2, 6, and 7. 2, 6, and 7, hymn 360.